Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood, tips and tricks,
products we love,
and brands that we can't live without. Let's get into it. You all right?
I'm good. How are you?
You look great today.
So do you.
Where's that dress from?
This is Zara.
How do you say it like that?
Because I think every time someone asks me, oh, where's that from? I'm like, Zara. Is Zara. It? Zara. Yeah, I mean, I don't think I really go shopping anywhere else because I don't have time.
But they're all good.
Yeah, no, I know.
Can you tell they're how into good. My new straight jeans
I was going to say, I love those jeans and I need to buy some. Where are they? River Island?
These ones are River Island. But I went for
River Island jacket as well.
I'm basically in Riri today.
Yes, you are.
I think they're man repellents though, I'm going to be honest, these jeans.
Why?
Because you know, like when you wear really tight jeans,
yeah,
your husband likes it and gives you a bit of a slap on the bum. Not that you dress for a man, but now I'm wearing straight leg jeans. He said to me the other day, "You gonna always wear those ones?"
Is that what he said?
Yeah. And I was like, "Do you want me to wear my skinny jeans
really
just for you?"
Nice.
I think they're chic, aren't they?
Yeah, I think they're so nice.
Yeah, do one, partners.
Yeah, do one, Dozza.
Yeah, do one, Dozza. Love you, Dozza. Don't forget to cook me dinner later, Dozza. So this week, we are talking to the very lovely Alison Perry about secondary infertility and her IVF journey.
And twins. Now, secondary infertility is something I sort of have never really thought about because quite often, when you've had one child, you just assume you'll be fine to have another, don't you?
Well, people say to you, oh, you'll be fine because your body knows how to get pregnant.
Yeah, and you don't really think that you might struggle the second time round.
Lots of people do.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the older you get, maybe that has something to do with it. But yeah, it's just something you just don't expect to happen.
No, but how horrendous must that be for you? Because, and then you have to fend off the comments like, oh, it's okay, you've already got
you've
one.
Got, I know, exactly.
Like Alison has a daughter,
yeah,
and, you know, an older daughter. And yeah, I can imagine people, she said that people said, oh, yeah, it's all right, you know, how would you feel if you just had one? It's like, well, I want to have another child.
Yeah, exactly. And it doesn't make any difference. Well, obviously, it probably does soften everything a little bit knowing that you have got one, but if you want to, you want to, and that's that, really.
Yeah.
Isn't it? And you want more, you want a sibling for your
of course you do
son.
And also that fear of never being able to have another baby,
yeah,
and all of those things that you go through and the disappointment of not getting pregnant every month, and you know, it must be horrendous,
and going through all of that while you're looking after a child.
Yeah,
I think that is really difficult. I mean, it's difficult when you haven't got children going through any of those issues, but when you have and you've got to put on a brave face for them every day, that must be really hard.
Really tough. And then, of course, we won't
ruin,
you know, ruin the chat, but obviously then we did get onto the discussion of twins. Now, I don't know about you, but that, I mean, as soon as I went for my scan, my first scan, I was like, Tummy's just one heartbeat. Tummy's just one heartbeat. And then they were like, it's just one baby. I was like, just one baby in there. Check it again. Because how do you cope with twins?
Oh, I have no idea. Actually, when I was pregnant with Axel, I think in my head, I thought if I have twins, I don't mind because then it's like
one and done.
Yeah, one and done. Exactly. But then when I was pregnant with Gigi, I remember on the way to have the scan, I said to my husband, listen, just to pre-warn you, if it's twins, I am probably going to throw some kind of tantrum. Just to pre-warn you, okay? And he was literally thinking, like, oh my god, please don't.
Some
don't.
Kind
so
of hissy fit yeah. will happen now.
Something will happen.
Because, I mean, hats off to any parents who have twins. I don't think that I could do it.
I don't. I mean, you'd have to.
Of course you have to, but... But how?
I've got no idea. And then I think they grow up and they have their own secret language.
Yeah, little bumblebees. Yeah. It was a fantastic chat. She's a brilliant woman. And it's time to get on with it. So podcast day is like treat day to Georgia and I, and we are so, so happy that the lady who's sitting in front of us is sitting in front of us today. She is mum to 3, 8-year-old Grace, or nearly 9, and she's got twin girls as well, Eva and Ayla. I knew I wasn't
almost
gonna get
got
that
it right.
Who are almost 1. She's also got an incredibly successful podcast, Not Another Mummy Podcast. It's Alison Perry.
Hello.
Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I love that you're sitting on that side of me now, because last time it was the other way around. We were chatting about step parenting.
Yeah, you came on my podcast.
Yes.
But there was one funny point when you were kind of interviewing the other guest.
I'm so sorry.
You went into interview mode. It was great. I just sat back and had a cup of tea and left you to it.
I sound like an absolute nause, don't I?
No, it was great.
I thought you were going to say that she started on some sex stories and you told her off.
She did.
I did not.
There was a bit of sex chat.
There was, of course.
My listeners went a bit,
oh. Oh my God, did they?
No.
Oh my God, I love talking about sex. I can't help myself.
But see, you know what?
I'm a little bit prudish. I blush and I get a bit hot under the collar. I'm like,
Me too. I start sweating. I can't get my words out. But I have got better, haven't I?
If you ever really want to make Georgia feel uncomfortable, and to be honest with you, I quite like doing it for fun, is ask her when the last time she had sex was and how was it?
I'm the same, honestly. I'm with you. No. In fact, on a recent podcast I did with the Scummy Mummies, they asked me that question. And I just got a bit flustered and I was all like,
God. Yeah, I just think about my mum listening.
Oh, God. She doesn't care.
Well, I know she doesn't care because obviously I've got 2 children, so she knows I've done it twice.
Just twice.
So anyway, that's how it all starts, though, isn't it? We've all had sex because we're parents.
Yeah. We've all done it.
Let's not talk about secondary infertility. Let's talk about... No, that's not. Alison, thank you so much for coming on today. We haven't discussed this subject. We have had a conversation with Megan Stevens about her IVF journey, but you've got a very kind of different story to tell, and I kind of want you to kind of paint the picture and what happened in your story.
Okay, so I had my eldest 9 years ago, and we conceived her within 3 months. It was one of those things where we were like, I think we're ready to have a baby. Okay, I want to come off the pill and just we'll see what happens. It was that classic we'll see what happens kind of scenario. And 3 months later, I was pregnant, and it was complete shock, and it was lovely, and we were just so grateful. And I suffered from postnatal depression when she was a baby. And one of the results of that was that I then very quickly, when she was quite small still, started fretting about whether I wanted to have another. Basically, I knew I wanted to have another baby, but already I was starting to worry about whether I would be mentally strong enough.
Right.
So then the result of that kind of fear was that 3 years went past until my husband and I, you know, got to the point where we were like, okay, I think we're ready to go for number 2 here. And unfortunately, unlike the first time round where it had been 3 months, bam, pregnant, it took 5 years.
Oh my God, wow.
So there is an 8-year age gap between my my eldest and my twins. And it's just one of those things where I look back and I think, okay, so we, not that we wasted those 3 years, but obviously experts say that your fertility is very high when you've got a small baby.
Yes. When you just had a baby.
Which is why when you go for that 8-week checkup, the GP's like talking to you about contraception.
And you look at them like, I don't want to talk about this.
Yes. You know, and you know, in that same way of me feeling a little bit uncomfortable about talking about sex in general, when me and my husband are there in the GP office and she's like, what about contraception? I got a bit kind of like, oh, well, like, but also genuinely, it's the furthest thing from my mind right now.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I really don't think that you need to be worrying about me and contraception right now.
We won't be having sex anytime soon.
You're scared of it at that point, aren't you? Because you're like, the last thing you want to do is fall pregnant again when you've got a small baby. But you are at your most fertile.
Yes. So I think it's one of those things that, you know, looking back, I think, okay, if we hadn't wasted those 3 years with me being scared about, am I strong enough to have another baby? Then maybe we would have been able to, get pregnant and have another baby quickly. Mm. We'll never know. Mm. We'll never know.
So in those 3 years, were you just trying, as you were? I mean, was there sort of, I guess, an urgency to you trying, or were you just kind of thinking, well, this will happen this month? And this, what was going through your mind and your husband's mind during those 3 years?
Well, the 3 years that after having my daughter, we weren't trying. So I was on the pill and we weren't trying.
Right.
But then when we decided, actually, let's go for it, let's try and have number two. Again, to begin with, we were kind of a little bit like, let's come off the pill and see what happens.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think, in all honesty, because I did have this fear of, I'm not sure I'm, mentally strong enough to have another baby. There was this real kind of like wrestling inside me of, I really want this, but I'm not sure I can cope.
Right.
And so it was almost like, rather than every month when my period arrived, it being this crushing blow, it was more kind of like, okay, right, let's just crack on and let's just see what happens.
Yeah.
And I did have a moment when my eldest was a baby and I was at this kind of my lowest ebb with PND, and I was trying to decide in my head whether it was something we wanted to do. I did have this awful, horrible moment where I thought, do you know what? I almost kind of wish that we can't have a second baby, because then the decision is taken away from me. I was kind of in such a horrible place with the kind of should we, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
I thought if this decision is just taken away from me. So then a few years later, of course, I'm looking back and I'm thinking, well, clearly I brought that on myself, didn't I?
Oh, Alison.
No.
Because you should never wish that upon yourself or anybody else. And so, I just thought, I should never have even thought that, because now we're in this situation.
You can't beat yourself up about stuff. I mean, absolutely, I know why you would go back there and think that. But at the same time, that was the postnatal depression talking, right? That wasn't the kind of, I don't even know what the right phrase to use is, but the person who you are sitting now in front of us, that wasn't that person talking to you, or not having those conversations. I mean, that's completely natural. I think if you're coping with something like postnatal depression, how do you even get out of bed every day, let alone look after a baby?
I know, it's hard, it's a challenge. Yeah, you're right, you're absolutely right. When it got to the point where we were just trying, it got to the point, we were just seeing what happens again. And then for me, it almost, us going down the fertility route, the kind of assisted fertility route, kind of happened by accident. Because what happened was, I suffer from this chronic condition called endometriosis.
Yeah.
And it gets worse when, so one of the ways that medical professionals deal with it is by putting you on the pill.
Yeah.
So with me coming off the pill to try and get pregnant, my endometriosis flared up. And
for people that don't know what endometriosis is, what are your symptoms?
So the symptoms are really heavy, painful periods, like properly can't get out of bed. I mean, it's different. It varies.
Yeah.
Because essentially, and I'm probably going to get this wrong, but essentially, when you bleed, when you have your menstrual bleed every month, I believe that tissue. So it's basically when you have your period, it's the inside lining of the womb shedding. And so I think that lining attaches itself to different parts of your body. So it could be like your bladder, it could be your bowel, it could be your intestines. And then I think that every month that then kind of sheds and bleeds and causes problems. And so stuff just builds up in places of your parts of your body that it shouldn't.
Wow.
And you get cysts and it's all just a big old mess down there. And that had a kind of a massive effect on your fertility.
Right, okay.
And so it's kind of like one of those things where you come off the pill to try and get pregnant, but coming off the pill makes endometriosis worse, which then makes your fertility dip. So it's like catch-22.
Yeah.
It's really tricky. So I ended up going to getting NHS treatment for endometriosis, and I had a laparoscopy, which is a surgical procedure where they basically laser away all the kind of stuff that's built up and get rid of cysts and all that kind of stuff. And after that treatment, so it's basically a case of, let's try the laparoscopy and it'll clear things up. And then have another bash at getting pregnant and see what happens.
And how many years after you'd started sort of trying? So the 3 years where you weren't trying, then...
I would say a year later, I'm having this treatment.
Okay.
And I'm being told by the consultant, let's have this surgical procedure and then see what happens. And with all of these things, it's almost like, let's try this. And then you've almost got to give it a few months, haven't you? And see if it works.
Yeah.
So it's all a very long, drawn-out process. And all the while, you're aware that the clock is ticking.
Of course.
And, you know, your biological clock is, you know, ticking in, that your fertility is dipping. And my main kind of fear and anxiety was that the age gap between my eldest and any future siblings was widening and widening.
Was that a big fear of yours?
It was huge. And basically every birthday of hers, her birthday is in September, and every birthday I obviously celebrated it and had a brilliant time, but I had this horrible kind of like gut-wrenching anxiety of, that's another year that she's older than any potential sibling.
What worried you about that, about having a big age gap?
I think that it's just not the norm,
right?
And I think that I worried that it would rob my children of that gorgeous sibling bond that you hear people talking about.
I can understand what you're thinking. Yeah.
And, you know, you see people going out as a family to like the theme park or, you know, the play park, and they all play together and they all have similar interests. And so to me, having a huge age gap would potentially rob these children, which is ridiculous. Now that I've got children with a big age gap, I can see that I have nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
But it was a real anxiety for me. So yes, had the laparoscopy and tried to get pregnant again, didn't work. And that was when the consultant said, okay, now it's time to start on the fertility drugs, which kind of felt like a really big step for me, because it really felt like, oh, right, my body really isn't playing ball here.
Yeah, and also what was going through your head? Because surely you were thinking, well, I've got pregnant.
Yes.
My body knows how to get pregnant.
Yeah. And I kind of wondered how much of it was psychological. I wondered how much of this I was bringing on myself, because was I creating some kind of mental barrier that my body was... I was blocking my body from getting pregnant because I was so, you know, worried about whether I would cope from a mental health point of view. I don't know.
I reckon that resonates with so many people listening, because
definitely.
You would at that point think that, wouldn't you?
And I think starting on fertility drugs feels like such a big step. It's like, oh, blimey,
and
I
guess when someone else has said that to you, rather than, you know, the normal, not normal, but normally somebody would, you know, get to 2 years of trying and then seek help, whereas it almost came upon you, like the help was put upon you.
It kind of almost happened by accident that I was going to have, you know, my endometriosis sorted, and it kind of almost just like snowballed into, and now you're on fertility treatment. Like, oh, okay, right, hang on, are we here already? Okay. So I went on to Clomid for, I think, 3 months or 6 months, I think it was, which is meant to stimulate egg production.
Yep.
And that didn't work. So then at that point, I was put onto another drug called tamoxifen, which is traditionally used to treat cancer. And one of the side effects, I believe, as I understand it, is it boosts your fertility. So I think a lot of cancer patients who are put on this are told, you need to be careful, you know, use condoms, or, you know, just... your fertility is going to kind of skyrocket.
Are you having to inject these drugs?
No, these are like pills that you take. Mm-hmm. So it's fairly kind of easy, you know, just kind of like get on with your day and kind of hope for the best. I think I did 3 months of tamoxifen. That didn't work. And then I just remember sitting in the the clinic and speaking to the consultant, and then basically just saying to me, because this was all NHS, you know, treatment, and then basically kind of them saying to me, we've done everything we can, because the next step, the only thing that you can do now is IVF, and because you've got a child already, we can't help you with that.
Of course.
So we've gone as far as we can go, and we were kind of just shown the door, and it felt like the biggest anticlimax, it was just before Christmas, or it was in between Christmas and New Year, and I remember walking out with my husband and just feeling kind of flat and like, oh, right, because IVF is such a huge thing.
Yeah.
And so expensive. They're not going to help you out with it.
So expensive. And I guess in the back of my mind, because we'd conceived within 3 months the first time, I just always thought, we just need a bit of a kickstart. It's going to be all right. You know, I'm quite a positive person. I'm quite optimistic. So just to be told, right, see you later, there's the door. I mean, obviously, they said it in a more, you know, sympathetic way.
You can have a tea on your way out.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And a biscuit. Yes. Just one, because we can't give you two, because you've already had a child.
Yes. So, yeah, from that point, it was just a case of researching fertility clinics and speaking to people and, like, reading blog posts and just trying to find people who had experienced IVF and getting my head around, you know, is there something we want to do? I think we knew at that point.
That was going to be my question.
I was going to say that. Did you just decide, yeah, that's it, that's off we go, let's go do this? Or was there some questions, you know, we've got one, that kind of thing?
I think for us, because we'd got to that point and we'd already been through, you know, trying different treatments, I think that it wasn't a question of shall we, it was more a question of, okay, how are we going to afford this?
Yeah.
And who should we, you know, should we go to a Harley Street clinic or should we go to our local clinic? Because actually, as I'm sure you guys know from chatting to Megan about IVF, there's a lot of to-ing and fro-ing. It's basically kind of, it's different, I think, for every clinic. But for me, it was like every second day I had to go for scans. And so to be trekking into central London all that time. And so we went for a local clinic just because from, you know, a kind of practical point of view. And
I know the sounds. It's so sweet.
Oh,
Gigi you giving us the sound effects.
What a new one.
Speaking of ovaries, mine are throbbing right now.
Imagine working with her every day. My husband's had a vasectomy now, and I just look at Gigi and I'm like, reverse it.
Yes.
Reverse it.
That's the thing, it's always reversible.
Oh, no. That's a subject for another time. I guess, again, kind of talking about the clinic that you chose, you chose a local clinic. Was that just purely for ease, or did somebody recommend that to you?
I knew somebody who'd been through IVF successfully at that clinic, and it was a clinic that my consultant that I had originally seen, that, you know, he worked privately at that clinic as well as doing NHS stuff. And we just thought, do you know what, just from a practical level, I thought, well, you know, we could choose another clinic based on other criteria, but you're not guaranteed that it's going to be magical and, you know, they just happen to have, you know, the right treatment or the right consultant, or there's so many unknowns and you're kind of taking a gamble wherever you go. So we just thought, let's go with the local clinic.
Yeah.
That we know one person who's had an all right experience there. So we went with that one.
And then what did that whole process look like for you? And can you kind of give us an insight into, you know, because Megan touched on the drugs that she had to take and the costs and, I don't know, the length of time and if there was any failed attempts, I guess.
Yeah, so we did IVF twice. The first time we spent the whole summer doing it, and I really felt like it afterwards, it didn't work. And afterwards, I wrote a blog post where I referred to it having stolen our summer. And I really felt like that, which sounds really dramatic.
No, because Megan also said it sort of consumes everything, doesn't it? And like the two of you, whether you decide to share it with anybody or not, the two of you are in this, you know, almost have this little secret other life going on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We were quite open about it with our friends. And but it does consume you. And, you know, the injecting, it sounds kind of crazy because you've got all these drugs in the fridge and you're told you have to inject at the same time every evening. You know, so I had like this alarm on my phone. I think it was like 7:15. So I thought, right, we'll put our daughter to bed at 7 and I can come down and, you know, we're in this little routine. But it kind of meant then that I couldn't just make plans to meet friends for dinner or go up to central London to meet someone for drinks, because I had to have the stuff that was fresh out of the fridge into, you know, a needle and into my stomach. And the actual injecting of it, it surprised me how quickly you get used to it. I'm doing the action into my stomach.
Like, what's she doing? Yeah.
I'm doing the action, injecting it. But the kind of effect that it has on the logistics of your life, it does kind of feel like it takes over. And we spent the whole of my daughter's school summer holidays at home and we couldn't book a holiday. And, you know, people might be listening like, boo-hoo, you know, one summer where you can't book a holiday.
No,
but also when you've got someone else to think about, that you do feel responsible for that, don't you?
Yeah,
of course.
Does she know what you were doing?
No, not at all. Not at all. As far as she was aware, we were just having a very low-key summer. And actually, afterwards, I reflected on this and thought, this, it was probably the best thing for her, because we all had quite low-key summers when we were growing up, you know, and she spent that whole summer, you know, going to the local swimming pool and going to the local park. And we had, I think we had a new sofa delivered. And so we had this massive cardboard box that was in the dining room. And she had a huge box of Sharpie pens. And she spent the whole summer drawing on this, on the floor. It just lived there on the floor.
It's the non-toy toys. Strike again. Yes.
The non-toy toys. And honestly, one of my babies is obsessed with the Sudocrem pot right now. It's just like, it is the best toy.
What, just bashing it?
Just playing with
it. Yeah, amazing.
Just chewing on it and playing with it. And I'm just praying that she doesn't open it up and have Sudocrem go everywhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, we had the whole summer and it was very low key. And afterwards, I did reflect back and think that's probably the best thing that she could have, because we were kind of guilty of, you know, like, let's shoot off here for a week and let's go to Alton Towers and let's pack in as much fun as we can, you know, into the summer break. So actually, it probably did her some good.
It's quite nice to do that as well. I think we, as parents, we're sort of programmed to spend a fortune on our kids every single day in the summer holidays because we have to do this and we have to do this.
They can just play with
their toys at home.
Yeah. And sometimes they like it.
Yeah, they love it.
I sometimes think, like, Axel hasn't had a day at home just doing not a lot for ages, like months and months and months. And when he does get to play with his toys, he loves it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, absolutely.
It's nice for them.
So you're obviously going through IVF. You've had that summer and then it doesn't work. And how are you feeling now?
Absolutely devastated. We found out when we were, so it was the beginning of September, and you have that 2-week wait where you have had the eggs implanted back into you and you're waiting to see whether the, you know, take, for want of a better, phrase. I remember being at my friend's 40th birthday party.
What's 10 years between friends? Yeah. It's fine, Alison.
I'm in denial. I think I'm still 30. I was at my friend's 40th birthday party and I went to the loo and there was blood. And the tricky thing is that you read that you quite often get an implantation bleed.
Oh, yeah.
And so in the back of my mind, I was thinking it might just be the implantation bleed, but I knew the amount of blood that this was a period. And I went back downstairs and I hadn't been drinking, because you don't when you're going through IVF. You kind of have to act as if you are pregnant and you avoid all the cheeses and the runny eggs and all that kind of stuff. And had to kind of carry on drinking
non-alcoholic cocktail.
Yes, exactly. Fizzy water. And didn't bother telling my husband because I didn't want to spoil his evening. But inside, I just felt this kind of like crushing kind of weight inside of just like, oh, I really feel like this hasn't worked. This whole summer has been for nothing. And all of that money, it's such a lot of money to be spending on something that isn't a guarantee. Like, there aren't many things in life where you spend thousands of pounds, you know, on something that isn't, you know, a renovation in your house or a holiday or a car or something where you definitely have something to show for it.
Yeah.
So devastating. And to stand in that party as well, that image is really standing out to me. And not even saying to your husband, you know, I've come on my period, to have to kind of deal with that. It's a very solitary feeling at that point, right?
Yeah. It was absolutely, and I really felt like it took me a good few months to get over it. And, you know, just talking to other people who had been through IVF and it hadn't worked, and chatting and reading blog posts and listening to podcasts, it's like, you know, all that kind of shared experience that really helped me.
Did you think it wasn't going to happen for you at that point?
So at that point, we had basically used up all our savings, and I was very open about that. And I said, you know, to everyone, you know, all my friends, but also I think I mentioned it on social media as well, because I kind of wanted to be honest. And I, you know, all the way through this, because I do talk about motherhood on social media and on my blog, I kind of wanted to everyone to know that this was our one shot. And then, you know, family members offered us money to have a second round. Somebody who I'd met online, through the kindness of her heart, offered to pay for a second round.
Oh my God, I've got goosebumps.
I know.
You know, the kindness of people. I've got goosebumps too. I've got shivers just thinking about it. And
she just sent you a message.
Well, She sent me like a DM on Instagram saying, I know this is weird. I don't really know how to say this, but I'd be willing to pay for a round of IVF if you want me to. And I at first I kind of flippantly was like, haha, as if. And then I felt terrible because I thought, actually, she's probably kind of been working up to send this message. And it came from such a lovely place. Mm. So then I very quickly, and I was walking along when I read it, I was walking along my local shopping centre and just sent her a really quick reply back. And then later on, I reread it and I was like, actually, I sent her a much nicer one back saying, it is so kind of you, but I could not possibly.
Yeah.
You know, I just feel like it's too much when we don't really know each other that well. But yeah, family members offered, and eventually, I think it was my in-laws, we accepted money from them for a second round, and we just did it. And this was, let me get my dates right. So it was in September that we found out that the IVF hadn't worked. And then it was the January that we started again on another round of IVF. So a few months later. Mm-hmm. And it worked.
Yay! And it worked. I was waiting for you to say that.
Did you
worked.
Feel different? Did you know? Did you like know in your heart? No.
I'm not one of those people. I'm not one of those
You're
people.
You're not Bumblebee.
No. I don't know these things. To be honest, I was convinced that it hadn't worked because, again, I had a bleed. And I remember texting I went to meet one of my friends for coffee, Emily. That morning, and I said to her, she knew I was going through it, and I said, I've had a bit of a bleed. I don't think it's worked. And she chatted, and we talked about it, and then I went to bed. When I left her from coffee, I went back. I just got into bed, and I was just feeling quite low. And I was messaging another friend who has been through IVF herself a few times, and she was basically just like, you idiot, you're pregnant. That's the implantation bleed. And she was completely convinced. And I was like, no, because, last time, blah, blah, blah. And she was like, how much was there? And so I was like, not much. It's the implantation bleed. Oh my God, congratulations. And she was like, she kind of went shooting down this road of congratulating me and saying how happy she was.
Oh my God,
I
love this woman. Who is she, this friend?
So this is Amber.
Come on, Amber.
So Amber, she's on Instagram as Meet the Wilds, and she has had IVF. Three times. She's got two sets of twins and one singleton.
No!
Gosh.
She's bonkers, but amazing. So she was basically DMing me saying, you're pregnant! Oh my goodness, this is so exciting! I'm so happy for you! And she was like, do a test. And I was like, no, it's too early because they say not to do a test until after the 2 weeks and we're only kind of 10 days in. And she was like, no, do a test. So the next day I did a test and it came up as pregnant. But the reason they say not to do it too early is because one of the drugs that you give yourself during this process can create a false positive if that drug is still in your system. And Amber was basically like, no, that'll definitely get your system now. It's definitely a positive. Woo! And I was like, still a bit hesitant.
Yeah, cautious.
Of course you would be, yeah.
I've got to wait. This was on the Sunday. I've got to wait until Thursday before I can do the official test. But I think at that point I kind of knew. And her positivity and her kind of, refusal to, believe that this wasn't happening just was quite infectious.
Infectious, yeah.
So,
and they put two eggs in.
They put two eggs in, and they put two eggs in. But when we went for our 6 week scan, so basically when you have IVF, I don't know if it's the same for every clinic, but the clinic that we used, they get you along at 6 weeks for what they call a viability scan, which doesn't sound very nice. But it's to check that the pregnancy is viable, to check that it's not ectopic and that everything's where it should be. So we went along for this 6 week scan, really excited, but also a little bit kind of like, just need to make sure that everything's, fine. And the consultant said, there we go, there's the heartbeat, everything's fine. And off we went.
So you thought you had one?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Did he get that or she get that wrong?
She got it wrong. Well, bearing in mind as well, on the notes, she would have seen that she put in two eggs. You'd think it might be the kind of thing that she checks for.
As if she didn't check. So you went a 6 week thinking there was one, and then what happened?
So then what happened was a few weeks later, we're just going for our regular you know, 12-week, 13-week scan at our local hospital. And we went in, and it was me and my husband, and the sonographer said, also, is it your first scan? And we said, no, we had one at 6 weeks. And they kind of she kind of jokingly said, oh, so you know it's just the one then? And we were like, yeah, we know it's just the one. And then she started scanning, and she kind of looked at us a bit kind of quizzically. And she said, you were told it was just one. And my husband and I looked at each other, and we were like, yes, why? And she was like, there's two.
Oh, wow. My gosh.
And we just both started giggling, and I could not stop laughing. And my stomach was shaking because I was laughing so much. And she was trying to, all the gel was on my stomach, and she was trying to kind of scan, and it was just shaking up and down and wobbling all over the place. We just could not stop laughing. We were just kind of in shock.
I mean, laughing is a good emotion. Yeah. I've probably been like, oh, like freaky. I mean, but I suppose at that point you're like, I've got my baby.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that you always think it's an option. You always think it's going to, you know, it's a possibility, yep. Especially with them putting two eggs back in. But we were told at that appointment, we were told they are identical twins. So it is actually one egg that has split. It's not the two eggs that we put back in. And she thought, wow, that's kind of amazing.
Yeah, that is amazing.
You know, because people say, you know, oh, we've got twins. Oh, is it IVF? Well, yes, it is. But you know, we haven't had twins because we've had IVF, you know.
Yeah.
So they're identical twins. But in a weird twist, they do not look identical. And so I do wonder whether actually they got it wrong and they are non-identical and it was the two eggs. I don't know.
I mean, was there anyone that was getting it right during these scans?
Basically, there are a lot of people out there who are getting it wrong.
But I guess you don't really care because you've got two beautiful babies.
We don't care, but it's just, I'm quite fascinated. I'm really interested in all things twin.
Yeah.
You know, just the fact that you can have one egg that splits and it creates two identical babies, that's just so interesting.
Yeah.
And then the fact that you get fraternal twins that are kind of like siblings that happen to be born on the same day, and it could be like a boy and a girl, or it could be, you know, same sex.
So is that where you conceive twice, almost on different days?
So basically two eggs get released. So this is why, this is why I'm a bit of a twin expert now.
yeah tell me, because I love the twin chat.
So this is why you get more twins born to older women. It's partly because of the rise of IVF, but it's also because the older you get, the more chance you have of releasing more than one egg in a cycle. So you might release two eggs, both get fertilised. Both get fertilised and both implant in your womb. And both are, so basically when that happens, they're called fraternal twins. They're non-identical and they're basically like brother and sister or sister and sister. And they just happen to be born on the same day.
So how was the birth and how was the pregnancy? And were you one of those, I mean, pregnancy is not easy, but obviously you'd gone through IVF, which was such a trauma for you. So did you enjoy your pregnancy this time around?
I think that I think when you have an older child, the pregnancy is much less of a thing, isn't it?
Mm.
And you kind of just get on with things and you're less almost like indulgent. And rather than kind of putting your feet up and asking for a foot rub, you're just kind of like bombing around, you know, doing the nursery run or the school run or whatever it is. And you just happen to be pregnant. I think I was much more relaxed, even though with the twin pregnancy, I had to go for scans every 2 weeks. So with them being identical, apparently, they were sharing a placenta. And the danger with that is that you can have this thing called twin-to-twin transfusion, where one twin takes too much blood from the other. So the placenta should be giving them equal amounts of blood. And that can sometimes go a bit awry and it's really dangerous. And so they basically asked me to go in every 2 weeks for a scan. So it was quite kind of disruptive in that way of, rather than just having like three scans in my pregnancy and then just cracking on,
yep.
I was forever getting the train up to the hospital.
Yeah.
But it was also quite nice and reassuring because it meant that every 2 weeks...
You saw the twins.
I saw the twins and I had that, you know, rather than kind of having those kind of slight fears and anxieties that you get when you're pregnant of, oh, everything's okay. Every 2 weeks, I had someone saying, everything's okay. Everything's fine. That's everything's great. As it should be. Mm. So it was actually, I feel like it was quite a relaxed pregnancy from that point of view.
Gave you more confidence.
In lots of countries, they do that, don't they? Just like as standard, they scan like every month or
do
something.
They?
Yeah. Because I was, when my mum was pregnant with me, we lived in Portugal and she was scanned all the time.
Right.
And so the second time around, you only get two scans, don't you? Second time normally.
Yeah, two
you
scans,
get one
three
less.
Scans.
I think you get one less than with your
12
first.
Weeks, 20 weeks, yeah. And then I got one at 32 weeks or something.
I didn't get any more after that.
My mum said she didn't have one scan during her pregnancy.
Wow.
What? She went, yeah, because it was like, you know, she'll kill me for saying this, but she's somewhere hovering around the sort of late 60s, early 70s mark. Sorry, mum. And she said back in the day, they just didn't get them in the UK. You know, you went in, you were pregnant, everything was fine. Maybe you had one scan at the beginning, but she said you didn't have any with Catherine, my eldest sister.
Oh my gosh, that's nuts, isn't it?
It's crazy, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, my mum was every month, so she couldn't believe that I...
Because she was in Portugal.
Yeah, I was getting so little.
We're so lucky, really.
Aren't we lucky?
Yes. And that, you know, we that the technology exists, that they can, you know, look inside us. It's crazy when you think about it.
I know, it is crazy.
You know, the stuff that they can find out and see and measure and... You know, all of that stuff, it's brilliant.
We talk a lot about how the midwives work, that we're absolutely blown away by what they do in that delivering suite or wherever you are having the baby, that they're just so calm and collected and on top of everything and not panicked. Yeah. And oh my God, I mean, they are the heroes.
One of my main memories, so I had, I want to say a natural birth with my first, but that's not correct, is it? Because every birth is natural. I think we see vaginal birth is the correct term.
Okay. Yes, with the first twin.
No, with sorry. With my first,
with Grace.
Was my eldest.
Yep. Yep.
But with the twins, I was told you had to have a C-section.
Okay.
Because they were sharing a placenta.
Okay.
Maybe they weren't sharing a placenta because...
who knows?
Who knows? But one of my main memories of having the C-section with the twins was one of the anaesthetists who was here, kind of right next to my head. And she just chatted to me. She just kept chatting and chatting and chatting. And every now and again, she would kind of give me an update as to what was happening on the other side of the big blue curtain. But actually, she was just kind of like, are you okay? And, you know, like, tell me, you know, if you need anything or, you know, just... And I just thought, you know, you are doing such a good at kind of distracting me in a warm and friendly way.
Brilliant.
You are so good at your job. I want to hug you.
Yeah, they never falter, do they? Just being there, just that sort of strong, even if your husband's gone off to get some sausage rolls or whatever, that, or your wife's gone off somewhere, you know, that they're there, aren't they? Just all the time calming things down.
Yeah.
I remember during Kit's labour, I mean, I was completely out of it. I had an epidural at this point, and I remember it was time to push. And my lovely midwife, her name was Remy, I remember looking down at her, and she had she was wearing glasses because she needed to wear glasses. But at that point, I looked down, I could see the reflection in her glasses, and apparently, I went, tell her to take the glasses off. Take the glasses off. And I was going, you're going to have to take the glasses off. And she was like, I cannot take my glasses off because I need them to see. And I was like, I can see in the reflection. I can see. And Dorza was going, don't look. Don't look.
Close your eyes.
Was, it will stay with me forever.
I bet it will.
But she didn't take her glasses off, thank God.
Well, you know, to be fair, if she needs them to see. I had a similar thing where I think a lot of people have this experience when they're having a C-section. You look up and the massive... sort of metallic surgical light is quite reflective.
Yes.
Oh.
And you glance up and you can kind of see a reflection of them like cutting you open and hoiking babies out of your abdomen. And it's a little bit kind of like, oh, don't look, don't look.
Yeah. Ah. It's so weird the things you remember during moments of labour. Do you remember anything or were you just silent like the first time?
I don't know. Well, basically, I don't make any noise during labour.
No noise at all.
No,
she's Tom Cruise.
It's
she's actually Tom Cruise.
I don't know why. I just don't make a sound.
Did you do the whole hypnobirthing thing?
No.
Oh.
Like, I don't know, not at all. I didn't know it was going to happen.
What is wrong with you? Are you a robot?
I don't know. Maybe.
Did you not make any sound with Gigi either?
No, zero sound with Gigi. And I didn't have any pain relief with Gigi.
Wow.
So I don't really remember it because I think I zone out. I think that's what I do. I think I just take myself off somewhere. I mean, it's very strange. I can't do it in normal life. And I'm not going to have any more babies, so it won't be happening to me
again.
I'm
looking at you thinking, who are you? You're not the person I once met in a Cheltenham cafe.
That's amazing.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's weird.
Listen, we could obviously sit here and talk to you the whole day because you're so brilliant. What we do at the end of the podcast is we ask our guests to talk about their five favourite products. So we've been chatting about fertility, infertility and twins. So have you got any that you swear by?
Twins. I'm really interested in products for twins.
Well, I mean, a lot of the stuff that we've got is kind of just two of everything. I mean, I've got the most amazing double buggy. So I've got one of those inline double buggies, which I was really kind of keen to get. We've got like it's an eye candy orange we've got. And a lot of people said, oh, you want to get one of those kind of like nice big wide ones. But to actually, to get on and off a London bus.
Yeah.
And we've got a Victorian like terraced house. And I thought, you know, to get through our narrow front door, we don't want to be kind of... And you know, people were like, oh, it's fine. You just, you know, dismantle it outside and keep it in your car. And I'm
but
like,
where do you put the babies?
Exactly.
I don't understand. I'm like, what, do you just lay them on the floor in the hallway?
Like juggling, like one on one shoulder, one under this arm, putting the buggy in the car. No, so we've got like a lovely inline.
So is that one on top, one underneath?
Yes. Yeah. So that's probably one of my favourite things. Also, one of the things that I could not have done without is one of those white noise apps on my phone.
Yeah.
So we use what's called the crowded noise room, crowded room noise, which just sounds like there's a bit of a party going on in the next room. And we still use it when our twins go down for a nap during the day. We still put it on because it kind of masks if, you know, there's a massive lorry kind of beep, beep, beep down the street. It kind of masks the noise and it means they're not waking up. So we still use that. So.
We use white noise. Yeah, we're a bit white noise fans. Yeah. And yeah.
Car seats? So do you still have to have a car seat with your eldest?
Yes. So, I mean, I think she's probably at the age now where possibly, because I think it's 135 centimetres, I think. So she's probably getting to the point where she doesn't need one. But I'm quite strict on car safety.
Yeah.
And so I think she'll be in her high back booster until she's 12. And so we, as ridiculous as it sounds, we bought a new car because we couldn't physically fit. We went down to Mothercare and they've got this brilliant service where they will come and try different car seats in your car.
Oh, that's great.
And so they brought down two of these like Maxi Cosi Cabrio Fix kind of, you know, infant car seats and put them in our car. And then we tried to get my eldest's high back booster in the middle and it wasn't going to work. And we just thought, you know what, as mad as it sounds, and again, car safety to me is so important. It was a second-hand people carrier that we've got. But we traded in our old car. We got a new one. And so it fits them all in fine.
So individual seats.
Individual seats. Yeah. Cool. It's just like a regular Maxi Cosi, infant car seat.
And are the girls in the same room together? All of them?
Not all of them, no. My goodness, my eldest would love that though. She would just be like, best sleepover ever. No, the twins are in their own bedroom. They've only just recently gone into their own room. They were sleeping with us. Yep. They're sharing a room.
Yep.
And they've only just recently gone into that. They were sleeping with us until about 10 months. And that I found that actually quite a transition, a tricky transition. I didn't think it would be hard, but having them move into their own rooms and me going to bed and not being able to hear their little snuffles and their little breathing, I have found quite emotionally difficult.
Have you?
Yeah. My husband's just like, yeah, whatever.
He's sleeping better.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, lovely to have you and Alison. You've been amazing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Oh, do you know what? I just love a happy ending.
Oh no, don't we all? That was so nice.
It was brilliant. The journey that she's been on and then to get twins at the end of it.
I know, what an incredible journey she's been on.
Yeah, she's a lovely lady actually. Now obviously Georgia and I do not have twins.
We don't.
So we thought we're just not going to do products on twins because we got no idea. So we decided that we, for this week, we would just talk about our favourite baby and kids children's wear.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't spoken about kids' clothes for ages, so we thought it might be quite nice.
I'm going to kick us off. I'm going to talk about Fred and Flo.
Oh, yes, obviously.
One of our favourite brands. Popping into Tesco to do your shopping, which you and I both do, into the clothing section, and you can sort yourself out and you can sort your kids out. And these clothes are fantastic quality.
Yeah, they really,
really are. Really, really inexpensive. And like just a really great mix and a range of clothes you can get in there. Gilets for the boys, you know, jumpsuits, little dresses. I mean, it's perfect.
So easy. Yeah. That's what you want, isn't it? Packs, you know, packs of two, packs of three.
Yeah.
Outfits already put together. Yeah, yeah. Really, really simple.
We rate them.
We really do. I love Next, actually.
Me too.
Yeah, I always used to look at all the girls' stuff when I was walking around with Axel and think, oh, look at all that stuff and now I can buy it.
Yay!
But in all seriousness though, like, I really love all this like basic stuff. So they're, you know, like baby grows and long sleeve vests, because they have like leopard print ones, a little bit jazzy. Mm. And again, really good quality and not very expensive.
So. I also got Luna a really cool pair of unicorn wellies from there the other day. Aww. And I think they were $5.99, $6.99, something like that.
So good,
it's really
it?
Good.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can take this one because you love this brand, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, I do. Eddie and B. So I was sent a little like romper for Gigi, and I was one of the things I just couldn't wait for her to get in.
Yeah.
It's an Instagram brand. Just really beautiful prints, like little pom pom details. Just if you're looking for something a little bit special, it's not too expensive though. I think a romper was about £30, so not crazy money.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't normally spend that much on just one.
Yeah, it's
one
like
piece.
An occasion wear
yeah,
for them.
Exactly.
So another brand that we absolutely love that you might not have heard of are Small Stories.
Oh yes.
Run
Small
by
Stories.
The lovely Joe, who's just an absolute dream. And yeah, what a brand. What a clothing wear brand
yeah,
for kids. I mean, like
the prints are great.
Prints.
Yeah.
Kit's got this incredible bomber jacket, which has got really cool detailing on it, really cool print, and I love that. And then Luna, I mean, she's got like three or four of their dresses. We love them. Really
yeah,
small brand, but like
really lovely. And now you can get matching for mums and dads as well. Like little
who
bombers.
Doesn't want to be twinning with their
I
kids?
I love a bit of twinning. To finish off, this isn't actually a kids' wear brand, but these bags have always got our kids' clothes in them.
Yeah, exactly. And Georgia and I have got the same bag.
We have. So it's Bow and Rattle. I think it's actually an Irish brand. Just really beautiful changing bags. But I think you sometimes use yours for the gym as well, don't you?
I use mine as a gym bag.
Yeah.
Because I don't have a change bag anymore.
Oh, yeah. You don't need one.
No, I literally just grab a nappy and some wipes and then that's it. It was a sad time. So I use it, I carry it around with me and use it for the gym, but it's beautiful. It looks like a really beautiful handbag.
Yeah, but it's got all the compartments, comes with a changing mat. Also, which is great, it comes with special clips to go on your buggy, so you can hang it, and it does actually really work. So
you look very chic when you walk around with it.
Thank you.
That is it for this week. Thank you so much for listening and being involved with this conversation. As always, we would love you to rate, review and subscribe to the podcast and just kind of generally spread the Made by Mamas word, please.
Yes, please do. I always love it when we hear that someone's recommended their friend
yeah.
to us and then they end up loving it too.
Yeah.
So, as always, please drop us a note on Instagram at Made by Mamas or on Zoe's own channel at Zoe Hardman.
Yeah, if you've got any feedback or anything that you want to talk to us about, any advice, any tips, any hints, anything, we're always there for you, so you can get in touch via our Instagrams. And we're going to be back next week with more chat. See you then.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Marc Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Marc.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about it.
Coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.